Accession number 17984, Reel 3.
Jim Oates, Reel 3.
The information they gave, it was a medium force with medium arm firepower. So based on their information, I think we were told there was only about 20, a contingent of 20 Germans. So we raised about 30 of our chaps and we set off in the evening to raid them at night. We took our Piper, we always take our Piper with us. We were told to wear not our army boots but our snowshoes, our snow boots, because it was a gravelly uphill to reach where the Germans were. But by golly, it was the early hours, night time. The Germans were far, far stronger, more, and the firepower was nothing like we were told. That every time we tried to make a move up to them, up the hill to them, we were just getting blasted and shot with heavy machine gun, mortar bombs and everything. I think we lost about 7 chaps in that raid.
7 killed?
Yeah. And I've got their names in my diary. But we've lost our bagpipes, because we had our bagpipe. We always have our pipers with us. And because of the upset in the melee, one of the chaps with a brain gun was wounded and fell down. So the piper handed his pipes to someone else and picked his brain gun up to use himself. And in the excitement, and when we had to retreat, his bagpipes were lost. So somewhere in Yugoslavia, some bagpipes. The commandos were waiting, ready to come in as a second line if needed. So when we had to retreat because we just couldn't manage anymore, the opposition was too strong, the commander radioed up to come in and take over. And the commandos were asked to come in. And when the commandos came in and advanced up to the Germans surrendered, we found out from the German prisoners after that had our company made one more move up the hill to them, they had decided to surrender. So we lost the honour and the commandos got the honour. Joke, but that was that. Yeah, there was actually what I hadn't mentioned. Also, C Company of our battalion had been trained in Italy as parachutists, should they be needed. So it was a unique battalion.
Which company were you in?
I was in B Company.
And which patrol?
Oh, I forget now. I forget now. No doubt Cyril, if he was here, he would say so. Yes, often there was fight between B and C Company. Because like Northern Ireland in Glasgow, Protestants and Catholics often have punch-ups, like their football matches.
Were they Protestants or Catholics in the B Company?
In C Company, they were predominantly Catholics. It seems a coincidence, C Company Catholics. When we was off parade, I didn't want some of the Protestants to walk through and make a crack about the Pope. There was a punch-up. But, and by the way... But they were used in Albania, C Company. Because something else that, when I talk to, well, I don't often talk to chaps in the army, especially now our age, but some people don't know that the Royal Artillery also had a parachute section. And in Albania, it was decided that the artillery were going to parachute down their lightweight artillery and follow themselves to harass the Germans.
In Albania?
In Albania. See, that linked up with Yugoslavia, see. So C Company was sent to be ahead, and for the time this happens, to take over the area where the expected drop was in order to protect the parachutes when they come down. And not a lot of people know that the artillery was used that way during the war. That they had their own special branch. Amazing. Yeah, we eventually cleared the Germans out of Brecht. We eventually cleared the Germans out of Cortina. We used to do sporadic raids, because the raids were difficult, because to get to the islands, we had to go a boat. That's why preferably you always went at night, because boats could be seen more easily. And yet the funny thing was, and when I look back now, Wies was occupied by Allied forces, us. Germans had planes. They used to come over making wreckers. Never once did they bomb us on Wies. Never once with heavy artillery shoot the mainland. Funny, isn't it? And yet we were a ruddy nuisance to them being there. It appeared to me at that time in the war, because when we went to other countries, we don't know what higher command instructions were, because we never used in the snow. It was only used where it was hilly and awkward. It was either, and it did, to relieve villages of Germans, push the Germans out, because in late 43 and 44, it was obvious the way the war was going. So it was either relieving villages in whatever country we were sent to and clearing up remnants of Germans, or it was to keep the Germans occupied to avoid them going to the second front where the bigger war was on. Keep their troops. I don't know. That's only conjecture. That I wouldn't know.
Did you do much fighting yourself, apart from that operation you mentioned?
Yeah, well, see, this is where one gets embarrassed when one talks of fighting. I suppose one thinks of the First World War with bayonets. See, it's embarrassing talking about fighting, because my generation, I suppose, was brought up with tales of the First World War, where it's on with bayonets and stick them in. But our fighting was only raids. We'd raid German contingents, loose German conditions, no sort of second front. The only time we were actively engaged in what I would call the German army, which I'll come to later, was in North Italy. And there's some funny things I could say about that that are true. So our fighting was raids. We tried to surprise German contingents where we were told they were by the partisans, because our job was to link up with the partisans. And most partisan areas also had British officers who'd pick up information and radio back what's happening. Our battalion command could always pick up where the intelligence officers, whatever their designation was, I wouldn't know, but there were always officers around that could give us information. It was on Brecht, nothing to do with the fighting. But it surprised me. Not Brecht, I keep saying Brecht, I mean Wies. When we were getting ready to be pulled away from Wies, to go elsewhere, Italy, somewhere, my mother wrote and told me, because she knew where I was, that talking to a lady shopping in Barking, the woman said her son had got killed in the early parts of the war, when the war started, and was killed in Yugoslavia. My mother said, well, that's funny, my son is in Yugoslavia. Now, how my mother knew that, and I'm cheating now, I think my brother did the same. I kept my family aware of where I was, despite army orders, and you're not supposed to tell anybody. If I wrote to my mother and said, I'm glad to hear that Lassie, the dog, has had another six pups, four pups, three pups, her and Dad would look up the map and know what country I was in, because she knew I was in Yugoslavia.
You had a personal code.
Yeah, but she wouldn't know it was Vise, just Yugoslavia. So this woman said she'd love to know where her son was killed. And that got me thinking, I don't know why. I asked the two cottage people, the old people that I got well on with, looked after her and she looked after me, the old lady, was there any, on this island, any British soldiers buried? I said, yes. And they told me it was somewhere out, you know, so-and-so. So I looked, and I couldn't find any. I looked. Then we had orders to move. I had a box camera, something else you weren't supposed to have, but I had a box camera. And the day we were due to move, I said to our company commander, please, can I borrow the company motorbike? Because we had a motorbike. And told him why. I want to find it, knowing there's graves. He said, you've got 2 hours. I shot off at it and I found the graves. And I was amazed. And I forget the family name. Loose rectangular stones, homemade wooden cross. And on there was the number of this marine. It was a marine, Royal Marine. So I tidied up the grave and took photos and sent them home to Mum. But what further surprised me, there's quite a few graves on this island. And some were dating back to the First World War. And I'm sure that, see, we're talking of what, 50-odd years ago, aren't we? I'm sure there were even graves that went back before the First World War. On this island of Vise, that's the Dutcher. It's amazing. My only regret was that my mother lost touch with this woman, and I've never got in touch with that family. And I suppose looking back, I could have, in the local papers, made an inquiry, which I never did. But she was happy. She knows where her son was buried. And there's the cross. So. I can't think of much more on.
Was it frightening on V?
No. The only thing that frightened us when they killed the goats. We weren't used to slaughtering goats. That was their main meat. They only kept goats on the island. And around the island would go one chap whose job it was to act as slaughterman and hold the poor goat upside down and cut his throat and let it bleed, you know. No, it wasn't frightening. You got used to it, you know.
Did you have any German captives?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that was good. Because the Germans would rather be made prisoner by us because the partisans showed them no mercy. They knew if the partisans took them, that would be the end. That's why they loved to hear our bagpipes when they decided to surrender. They knew they were safe. And of course, we couldn't hold prisoners too long for food supplies, water supplies, so every now and again, someone would be detailed to take a party of Germans over to the mainland, Italy. Because by now, Italy, the Germans were pushed up into North Italy, so all the south, the east coast of. And to us, it served two ways, because, as you know, the stress of active service, soldiers were entitled to a certain amount of relief after so many weeks of active. So to take prisoners over to Italy was like a holiday, like going to Butler's holiday camp. It was good.
How did the HLI treat the prisoners?
Oh, very well. Very, and we're pleased we did. This is why I come back to what I said about ordinary people left away from politicians and warlords don't want this. We lost one of our chaps in Italy. We lost a couple taken prisoner. One was a chap who came from Dacton. Used to go to school with Betty Anderson Handy. We lost him in North Italy with a sergeant and a corporal. We found the bodies of the sergeant and the corporal afterwards when we looked for them. Couldn't find Andy. About 3 or 4 months after, Andy was returned to us. Evidently some American troops had overrun these Germans that had some prisoners, who hadn't got rid of the prisoners, because no infantry wanted to keep prisoners. You had no room for them. You'd send them away to the prison camps. But they still had Andy and a few others. So naturally, Andy was returned to us. And we said to Andy, how did they treat you, Andy, as a prisoner? And he said, bloody good, Jim. Treat us as if we're one of them. Now, consequently, whenever we had German prisoners, we were pleased we looked after them, and doubly so, any prisoners after we had Andy released. I had a standing joke with one of the prisoners in Greece, but we couldn't hand him over because we were stuck right out in the wilds.
Now, after this you went to Italy, did you?
Yeah, this is where I got confused and I got some... from Greece, we went back to Italy to get reshaped. That's right, yeah. And rest. And then we were detailed. We're going to Greece, Peloponnese area, because the Germans were still in Greece. Dakotas were going to fly us. I'm not quite sure where was it Barry? I'm not quite sure what part of Italy they were going to... But so we set off by Dakota. And the time of arrival was evening. I happened to be in the first plane with our lads, because the Dakotas could carry everything. And we had to land on a makeshift field. And it was night time. And after several attempts, our plane landed, and immediately we were deployed, scattered out, lay down with our brain guns ready, because we knew Germans were in the area, and ready to protect the other planes that were going to follow for the rest of the battalion. And that was eerie, because we realised when we landed why it felt funny, because as the planes were coming in, it's night time on this makeshift meadow, all they had was searchlight leading from the plane over the makeshift landing, the Dakotas. So often they'd come down and have to go up again, you know, till they were happy. But there was no accident. They all landed. We immediately set up tannoys, I think tannoys, calling out to the Germans that we were the advance guard of many more troops, which was a lie, it wasn't. We were only out there to do our sporadic raiding of relieving areas. Came dawn. There'd been no answer from the Germans, no firing. Partisan forces linked up with us and told us that the Germans had cleared back to Patras. So we decided now to march to Patras. And we set off, we marched to Patras from where we were. It was a joke, because the time we'd reached Patras, the Germans had left Patras. Just a few left there, but mate. because we were treated like VE Day in London. We've got our bagpipes, we've got our drummers, we're marching in, because the drummers got their kilts on, haven't they? Officers with their tartan trews, because the 2nd Battalion didn't have kilts, they had trews. And all the people lining up with trays of drinks and everything, flowers and running over, because we relieved Patrese. Then after that, the work mainly consisted of whether it was Germans sending patrols out, fighting patrols to harass the Germans, make them surrender, or, you know, a bit of firing and shooting either side, but somewhere we get a few casualties, but mainly the Germans were always on the back tread, because I suppose the war was coming to an end for them. I've got, funny enough, looking at my diary, I brought home some drachma notes. They went, confusion of moving. Millions of drachma notes were in my notes. I'd taken notes. One day, there was 20 million drachma to a shilling, a BMA shilling. And it was in Patrese when, walking down the road, a man screaming and shouting from a balcony above and throwing bundles of drachma notes out. Useless. And I hope my figures are correct, it doesn't matter. But I took a note of how that gradually went up from 20 million to so many thousand million drachma. Their economy had just gone bust. And I brought some of those million drachma notes home, but they went showing. Like the Yugoslav party sand star, I mean Red Star, you know, that I was issued with. That went, got lost. Now, there wasn't too much in Patrese. So gradually we were shifted outside of Patrese. Now, the areas I can't tell now, different villages, more or less chasing Germans. Yeah. I can't quite remember how far we ventured outside of Patrese at the time. I'm sure we did, but I can't quite remember. But anyway, eventually we left that part of Greece and went back to Italy. And naturally, we took back prisoners because that was the object. Now, I don't know how long we were in Italy. The Germans now had retreated from Greece, from Patrese and from Athens. But trouble had broken out in Athens with a political party, ELAS, who mustered the support of the KKE, which was the name the partisans used, Kappa Kappa Epsilon, because they wanted to take over control of Greece when the Germans were finally cleared out as a communist country, or republic, perhaps to put it differently. But Britain, no doubt the Allies, wanted Greece to have the monarchy back. So now fighting grew between the Greek royalists, backed by the Greek army, you may say, and the, I'll say, communist-inspired Elas. We were sent in to bolster and support the monarchy, because the fighting that had broken out with Elas was real, a real war. Naturally, they were fully armed, even had tanks, no doubt some of German origin, German weapons. And the fighting was brutal, that went on. And as a matter of fact, we had more trouble fighting the Elas. We had to obey orders. Then we had fighting the Germans. We had as much trouble fighting them as the Germans.
Was this in Athens?
This was in Athens. You just couldn't believe it. Artillery, mortars, bombs, everything. We were taken up to a school on a very big, big hill that was called Mount Lykivitos. Or Lyviktos. They take over this old school. On this school, there was FOO, forward observation officer for the artillery, to direct our artillery to where the Elas were in the that part of Athens. Funny thing was, he couldn't do his job properly reporting back, because every time on his flat roof looking over the parapet wall, he was harassed by a sniper. So the instructions, we were asked to put an end to this sniper, this partisan sniper. So,
did you manage to do it?
Well, naturally, my records as a sniper were on the, and we had, and it used to be my job to zero the rifles because of my sniper training, to make sure rifles were accurate. So, went up to the roof, and carefully looking over, they showed where the shots were coming from, stopping the artillery officer. And we had a 22.5 telescope that always went with sniper gear. And we saw where he was. And we were up on this hill, Mount Lybikitos, and way over there was a flank end of a house with steps leading up to the flank end door. And he was standing